Well, pleasant. Good afternoon, everybody. The year was 1998. Joe Pelliateri was looking for his next big idea. The year before, he had a big idea. Some of you might remember the singing, dancing flowers. My mom had one. My mother-in-law had one. His big idea was it wasn't just one flower that would sing and dance when you pushed a little button. He said, I think we should have four flowers in there. Sales took off when they added the fourth flower, and he then became a VP. So for those of you who are working, trying to figure out how to get promoted, add another flower or two. That might do it. But so that was last year's idea. So he was designing the next seasonal gift, trying to have that become the next big idea. He couldn't figure out what it was going to be. Then his wife, Barbara, and he were walking through Bass Pro Shop. She had an idea. What about a singing fish? 1998, maybe so. So he went, talked to some people, and they thought, well, maybe. But they couldn't quite get enough people excited about it. And that was when the beginning of animatronics started taking off. What about a singing, dancing fish? Thus, Big Mouth Billy Bass was born. Now, my wife reminded me that many in this room would not remember Big Mouth Billy Bass, and I would say you might not remember it either because it was too many years ago or you're too young. So here it is. So imagine that people would have hunters and fishermen would put something on the wall, and this was the something like that, only trying to be a little bit more funny. You can either set it up to have a sensor so anytime you walk by it would do this, or you could push the button. So it was especially funny for their song choice. A fish on the wall, take me to the river, drop me in the water. That was so good, and have the tail flapping. This became a sensation. So it's still closely guarded how many were sold in 1998. Rumor has it, more than Tickle Me Elmo, more than $100 million for the idea of a singing, dancing fish. Crazy. What might be crazy also is you would say, well, what does that have to do with the Bible? So now let's tie it in. So I also do a Bible reading program, New Testament 60 Days, and I read a verse about the same time I read this article. So I get a daily email called The Hustle, and it's just like some business stories and things. So I read The Hustle story about Big Mouth Billy Bass, and then on the New Testament Bible reading program, Hebrews 4 chapter 12 just kind of jumped out at me. So please turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. What we'll do is we'll divide this verse into three, and then we'll put it together. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now on the surface, you might still say, I don't get it. Big Mouth Billy Bass is not mentioned there. No surprise, Big Mouth Billy Bass is not mentioned in the Bible. But the part that really jumped out to me was the word living here. And it's living not because animatronics made a fish tail move, but because living is that it's still relevant, it's still applicable through all of these years, and we'll expand that a little bit more, versus the alternate title could have been not a fad. Big Mouth Billy Bass was a fad. The Bible is not. Living, active, and more. So let's look at this with the three different portions. So point number one is let's focus on the word living. In the Contemporary English Bible, it says God's word is alive and powerful. In the King James Version, if you have it, living is translated quick. The Cambridge would just state that that's just an old English expression for the word living. So what they're really highlighting here is the word of God is living and powerful. Some commentaries question, what does the word mean? Because the word, as it's translated, or the Greek word here, is logos. And many of you would know logos from John 1:1, where the word there refers to Jesus Christ. Same exact word, logos. It could either mean Jesus Christ, or it could mean simply word. Logos, most of the time in the New Testament, is simply meaning a word or an utterance, but it can also then mean Jesus Christ. A key tip there would be if the W is capitalized, then that might give you a hint. Something else to point out here is where it talks about the word powerful. So that word powerful is sometimes translated active. It comes from a Greek word that's energes, and it would be spelled like energy, except it adds an E-S at the end. So you can imagine that it's active, it's powerful, it's full of energy. It's living as a part of that. So the whole point here is the Word of God is living, active, and powerful. To really clarify, asking, well, can a word simply be living? Please turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, where it's going to show a slightly different word for word, but it's going to highlight living a little bit more clearly. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. Speaking about Moses, that it was he who in the congregation of the wilderness with the angel spoke to him on Mount Sinai with their fathers, the one who received the living oracles. So oracles here is logi, and that just means utterances or words, but it just highlights in this verse that it's still living. It's that same living type word that applies then to the word. So point number one, the Bible is living, it's active, it's relevant, it's not a fad. Point number two is that it's piercing. So let's read the first two portions of this Bible, of this verse now in the Christian Standard Version, where it says, "For the word of God is living and effective. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow." So first of all, double-edged. What does that make you think of? Should be the opposite of like a dull plastic knife, those things that don't cut food for anything. A sharp double-edged sword, one of the commentaries said that it could be translated a drinker of blood. Wow. That means the blood, the sword can cut going in and going out. The sword cuts on both sides. The sword's really sharp. So it's a sharp, penetrating sword, separating soul and spirit. So that's the psyche and the pneuma, and separating out the joints and the marrow. So there's a legend that some of you may have heard, and I'll share it now, but I'll also preface this by saying, with further research, it's only a legend. Michelangelo most likely did not say this. But the question was asked, how did Michelangelo carve David, the statue of David that's now in Florence? The legend, which could still be applicable here, is he said, "All that I did was chip away everything that didn't look like David. So I started with a slab of marble, chip away everything that doesn't look like David, and then what's remaining is David." So if you think about how that applies to us as Christians, this Bible that's not a fad, that's living, that's active, that's powerful, that's sharper than a two-edged sword, can be applied to us as Christians to cut to the soul, to the spirit, to the bones, to the marrow, anything that's not Christian-like, to then have us morph into and become that better Christian. So point number three is discerning. So I'd like to highlight the English Standard Version now to put this together with a few different word choices. The Word of God is living and active, makes sense, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's also then discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Barclay talks about how this is now the desire, which is emotion or our reactions, the intention, which is the intellectual, what we think. So it's the combination of what we think and what we feel. It's discerned as a part of the Bible. Discernment is a topic that was a key theme as a part of the summer camp program. And I'll often remember, and I hope I remember for quite a while, an application that Scott McKeon shared at a compass check. And he had a big question up on a PowerPoint slide. And it said, discernment is the difference between right and then there was a blank, question mark, fill in a blank. So what is it the difference between? So discernment, initially, and I thought it as well, it's the difference between right and wrong. That's pretty simple. But because it's so simple, I'd like to expand that. What Scott shared is it's the difference between right and almost right. Right and close to right. And that's what's so much more difficult and challenging. The Bible can help discern that. I shared this idea with a good friend, Mr. Bill Cowan, and he talked about and added that if you think about the number of times that you can read a book, if you think about your favorite book of all time, Hopefully you have one. That means you would have read it at least once. If you've read it at least once, how many more times have you read it? Two or three or four? That second time, it's not quite as good as the first. The third or the fourth, it starts to fade. Five times? No way. How many times have you read the Bible? How many times can you have the Bible speak to you? So it's often said that prayer is us speaking to God. That reading the Bible is one way that God speaks to us. That's something that's living, is active, and can always apply. Many of you know the idea that read a Proverbs a day. There's 31 days, 31 Proverbs. I'd like to share with you, and I try to do that myself, I'd like to share with you a proverb from today. So Proverbs chapter 21. So on the Bible's living and active and relevant in our lives today. Chapter 21 and the very last verse. So this would be the proverb chapter of the day for any of you that did that. And I'd encourage you to do this from different translations, because when I read this in the New King James Version, it doesn't really jump out at me. But I'm reading through the New Testament in the version called the Message, which is just like a very practical, common English. And it really has this verse come to light. So I'll read it first in New King James, Proverbs 21 and verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Well, that seems like it's nice, but how does that really apply? I'd like to read that again in the Message, where it's translated, do your best, prepare for the worst, then trust God to bring the victory. So when it's talking about prepare the horse, preparing to do your best, and then do your best. So it's the preparation and then the doing, but also then prepare for the worst. So we don't always win everything. We don't always have everything go perfect. So then prep for the worst and then take what comes. So that's an application that's relevant throughout my business life and throughout many of our lives. And I would just encourage us to then, Proverbs chapter a day, read it in different translations and see how that could then apply in our world today. I would say a takeoff of this is some people say, well, just hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and take what comes. But that by itself isn't enough, because if you're just hoping for the best, you're not preparing to do the best, and you're not then doing your best. So it takes preparation and effort as a part of that. A couple of other things on how the Bible's living and relevant. Just consider, what other parts of the Bible are there that are relevant today and throughout all time? Prophecy is a part. Human relations is a part. Life is a part. Matthew 5, struggling and seeking to be a Matthew 5 Christian is part of it as well. So back to the story of Big Mouth Billy Bass. Big Mouth Billy Bass peaked in the year 2001. So he had about a 2 or 3 year run, which is pretty good for a dead fish. But 18 years ago, Big Mouth Billy Bass, didn't hear much about him. But you may or may not know that he's trying to make a comeback. So there's a new version of Big Mouth Billy Bass that's out there. They're trying to push it that it can now hook up to Alexa. You can now load your own songs to it and then try to have this be a big comeback. Now, I would say at this point, it's probably not working so well. So I did find a comment. So a new version was released, and the customer comment said, do not buy. The programming on these fish are awful. The fish doesn't sync up to any third-party music streaming service. On top of this, the tail flaps and head movements are offbeat and look terrible. The worst part is the speaker doesn't work either, so it's not relevant. So here's the point. Big Mouth Billy Bass was a fad. Came, $100 million of sales is pretty good. Disappeared. Might be having a comeback if Alexa can get things figured out with the dancing fish. I'm not that optimistic for it, but you never know. But regardless of Big Mouth Billy Bass, the Bible continues to be relevant. It's been relevant as God's utterances for all time. It will continue to be relevant for the future, and it's relevant because it's living, it's piercing, and it's discerning.